pretty common verse, well known, used readily by Christians, and so it's a familiar one, and sometimes the familiar ones you don't spend a lot of time thinking about. They kind of come in one ear and out the other. But I was encouraged this past month by this verse, and looking at it closer and looking at some cross-references and kind of meditating on what it meant. But before we look at the verse itself, I think it would be beneficial just to really gloss over Philippians fairly quick. It was written by Paul, and he was in some tough circumstances at the time. It was from a Roman jail cell. And, you know, you wonder, his letter to the Philippians, if he wasn't spirit-filled and if he wasn't abiding in Christ, you wonder kind of what that letter might have looked like a little bit different if he was doing it in his own power. It could have gone something like this. To my brothers and sisters in Philippi, greetings. Let me tell you about some things that are going on in my life. I had some good plans. I had some great things planned, and my ministry was taking off. But a few other things got kind of in the way. And so I'm in jail, and will be for some time, and I don't quite know when I'll be getting out. The food is terrible, it's cold, and it's damp, and they're beating me regularly. And if you recall, you know, I've got this thorn in the flesh thing, and that's kind of getting unbearable. And I'm just not sure I can do this anymore. I just don't think I have the strength to continue my ministry the way I have been. So for now, I'm suspending my ministry until I get my strength back. Let's keep in touch. Well, thankfully his letter's not like that at all. It's actually quite the opposite. Here's a man who's in chains for preaching of God's love and salvation through his son Jesus Christ, and he's unjustly imprisoned, he's tortured, he's hungry, he's cold, he's sleeping on a rock floor. And you find little glints of that, of his circumstances in the letter itself, but his letter to the saints in Philippi really exudes great love for those saints and for his Savior. And that's what the focus is on. He's not thinking of himself. He's not wallowing in self-pity. He's not making any excuses. He's not plotting revenge. None of that. He opens his letter in chapter 1 thanking God for his Philippian brothers and sisters and thanking him for the fond memories he's had when he's been with them. And he's joyfully making intercession for these saints. And he's rejoicing with them for their fellowship and their testimony in Christ. And Paul is confident that Christ will complete the good work started in them. He points out that the things that he is experiencing himself and has experienced in the past, his own suffering and the circumstances that he's had, have actually furthered the gospel instead of hindering it. And so you think, how can he focus with joy, with absolute joy, on the Philippians instead of his own perils? So where does Paul get his strength from? In chapter 2, he continues to point the Philippians to Christ, and to Christ's sufferings, and to Christ's obedience to his own Father, and how that Father exalted Jesus Christ and gave him the name above all names. And Paul tells the Philippians that it's God who's going to work in them, both to will and to do for his good pleasure, and that they should rejoice in their own suffering and their own sacrifice and their service for their Savior. And so again, Paul, where does he get his strength to give these words when his circumstances are so terrible? Paul tells them in chapter 3 to continue to worship God with joy, to focus on Christ, to take their eyes and their focus off of themselves. He urges them to draw nearer to Christ, to be more Christ-like, to press towards the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. In verse 20, Paul reminds them that their citizenship and our citizenship is in heaven, that this world is not our home and we're just a passing through. And don't worry, I'm not going to sing that for you. Paul implores them to stand fast in the Lord. It will be worth it all when they see Jesus. And I'm not going to sing that one either. And again, Paul says, rejoice multiple times. And again, rejoice, rejoice, and rejoice. Don't worry. Don't fret. Don't be anxious. All your needs will be provided by your loving Father. Meditate on the good things in chapter 4, verse 8. There's a number of things that Paul tells them to focus on that are the good things. Take your mind off the bad. And then finally, in the last part of chapter 4, he starts winding down his letter to his precious friends in Philippi. And he turns his attention to the gifts that they sent to him while he was in prison. And he rejoices for their provisions. And joy just comes out through this entire book. Paul reminds them that he has experienced both times of plenty and both times of hunger. Good times, bad times. Okay times and terrible times. And among these final words, right after he tells them that he's suffered bad things and he's had good times, the final words by Paul written through the Spirit, there's this gem, this pearl, and this certainty that the believers throughout the ages have taken to heart. And that's verse 13 of chapter 4, our memory verse for the month of February. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. A single sentence that reveals the source of Paul's extraordinary strength. We could look at Paul and say, what a strong man he is. And he would be the first one to say that he can't do anything apart from the Lord. The most important premise in that verse is through Christ. I can do all things through Christ. To be strengthened by God, we must first have trusted and put our faith in the death and resurrection of our Savior, Jesus Christ, that through His sacrifice, we have our past, present, and future sins forgiven. We have eternal life. And that's the first thing that we need to have to be strengthened by Christ. And as believers, we've been prepared and empowered to act according to God's will in our lives. So let's look at Ephesians 2, 8 through 10 here. Just back a book. Common verses again. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Not of works, lest anyone should boast. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. We need to rely on God for our strength. He's the source that we have to give us our strength when we're walking in His will. If we try to do things on our own power, muscle through, likely fail, likely falter. John 15:5 says, "I'm the vine and you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit." And then he says, "For without me, you can do nothing." So without Christ, we can't do anything. With Christ and in Christ, we have the strength to do all things. So we need to draw near to God. We need to be confident, we can be confident, that He will give us what we stand in need of. Isaiah 41:10 says, "Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yea, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." It's quite a promise. Paul relied on God for his strength. He knew he could do nothing of his own merit. Without God's strength, he wouldn't have survived the circumstances that he was in. And you could see God's strength poured into Paul over and over again when he was experiencing incredible circumstances. And let's look at some of those that were in Paul's life. Let's go to 2 Corinthians 11. A few verses in chapter 11 and then a few in chapter 12. But when you think about, I've always been amazed every time I read this, what Paul's going through during his ministry. "From the Jews 5 times I received 40 stripes minus one. 3 times I was beaten with rods. 1 I was stoned. 3 I was shipwrecked. 1 night and 1 day I have been in the deep. In journeys often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils of my own countrymen, in perils of the Gentiles, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and toil, sleeplessness often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness." I'm trying to figure out in there, when he tells the Philippians that he's experienced lots of good times also, as well as bad, I'm trying to figure out in there where he might have fit those good times in. Times when he didn't have need in amongst all the things that he experienced. In chapter 12, verse 7, "And lest I should be exalted above measure by the abundance of revelations, a thorn in the flesh was given to me, a messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I be exalted above measure. Concerning this thing, I pleaded with the Lord 3 times that it might depart from me. And the Lord said to him, 'My grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in your weakness.'" God's strength at the times when Paul was suffering the most, God's strength was there stronger than at any other times. "He was steadfast in his love of his Savior. He focused on Christ all the time instead of himself in his own circumstances, and he received strength from above." Got a number of verses here from Psalms and Proverbs that I'm going to go through here. They're on your sheet, and but these Proverbs and these Psalms talk about the strength from God. Psalm 138, verse 3. "In the day when I cried out, you answered me, and made me bold with strength in my soul." Psalm 27:14, Wait on the Lord and be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. That's another song that we sang tonight, pretty similar. Wait on the Lord and be of good courage. Little side note, I appreciate the songs that we sing every Sunday because they're filled with Bible passages and they contain much truth. And you can take so many of those songs right to heart. Psalm 18, 1 and 2. I will love you, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. And in verse 30 of that same book, or same chapter, as for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is proven. He is a shield to all who trust him. Another song that we sing, his way is perfect. Psalm 24:5, a wise man is strong. Yes, a man of knowledge increases strength. And we get knowledge and wisdom from the Lord. So it's imperative that we draw near to God and to be strong in the Lord. You know, so if you're a Christian and you're drawing near to Christ and you're relying on him for your strength, the question then is, what can you do? All things. I can do all things. Now when you say all things, does that mean all things? I suppose not against the force of gravity or the forces of nature. I don't suppose you could claim that verse and go out and figure that you can fly off the rooftop and not go down. So that's kind of obvious. You're probably not going to get the strength for doing something that's not in God's will for you. If you're going off in a direction that clearly is not a way that you should go, maybe it's a license for doing some things that wouldn't please the Lord, you're probably not going to draw a lot of strength from the Lord. But strength for everything that God calls us to do, you know, and that's probably daily things as well as occasional things. It's used a lot. The verse is cited and referenced when people we know or we face hard things, like Paul endured, physical infirmities, things like we've seen people in this congregation suffer, things that are hard for me to imagine, death of a family member, loss of a child, loss of a grandchild. And at those times we can draw from God. That's about the only way a person could withstand and to survive those kinds of trials. He gives us the strength. He gives us the comfort. We need to draw near to him. But there's also the things that we may experience that are not so devastating. It might be the things that we experience at our job. Maybe we're put into a job and a vocation that you do for a number of years and it's tedious and it's repetitive and it's starting to get boring and it's not new, but you feel it's God's call to have you there. But you grow weary. You grow weary, and you're there, you're providing for your family, and you're working with your hands, and you call on God, and he gives you the strength to make it through those day-to-day activities. It could be a new job that you're just getting trained in for, and there's lots to learn, and it's overwhelming, and you're not sure what your next step's going to be. You're feeling you're being watched at every step. You're being evaluated to see if you can make the cut. You need to rely on God. He'll give you the strength to make it through those times. I think of difficult times for... one that came to me was Pastor, when he's got to stand up here at a funeral and talk to family, to friends, to people of this church. And, you know, the person that's lost is likely a really good friend of his, close friend, has been a fellow saint for many years. That's tough to get up and speak like that. The only place you can draw the strength for something like that is from God. Think of moms at home raising little ones. Tell me about that. Overwhelming at times. Trying to teach them, trying to train them, following biblical principles. Repetitive work, frustrating work, like it's not working. Yeah, where do you draw your strength? Draw near, trust in the Lord. He'll give you that day-to-day strength. Think of the students trying to maintain difficult college courses when battling unknown physical conditions. The strength that can get you through that is only from the Lord. The circumstances can be overwhelming for any of us at any given time. Whether it's the mundane and the repetitive, or it's the crisis that's occurring within our families, within our friends. God will strengthen us. We have that promise. Another important message, or another important aspect of that strength, though, is prayer. James 5:16 says, "The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much." And we need to pray for one another. We need to go to the throne of grace. Pray for those that are encountering circumstances that are difficult. And ask the Lord for strength for them. You know, another title that I thought about here when I was looking at this was, "Where Do We Go When Things Happen?" And we can run to Christ. And that's another song that we sing here. And Allison, if you could, go over to the piano, please. And I'd like to close this before the Lord's Supper, which is about Christ and about His suffering, about what He's done for us, about His provision, about His leading, about His guiding. We have a tremendous blessing for us as believers to have a God who cares for us. He will not lead us to a place beyond what we can handle when we rely on this promise. You can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. Let's just sing this song. I looked at the words here when I was going through this, and each one talks about running to Christ when we're in circumstances that are difficult, chased by fear, torn by grief, worn by life, vexed by hell, stalked by sin, plagued by shame. Each of those, we can run to Christ. He gives us the strength to overcome each of those things.